Pennsylvania. Disney's The Lion King dominated the box office this summer, taking in over $1.5 billion worldwide. But as Labor Day approaches, we wanted to take a look at how the rest of the summer movie season went. Jeremy Hobson spoke with John Horn, host of KPCC's The Frame.
First of all, $1.5 billion, that's a lot of money for a movie to make, right?
It is a lot, and that's counting both domestic and overseas. So domestically, it did about only $500 million. Overseas, it did more than $1 billion. And, you know, a billion here, a billion there, pretty soon you're talking real money.
So what about the rest of the movies that came out over the summer? What's your take?
I would say it was a season of the haves and the have-nots. And the haves was mostly Disney. And the studio not only had The Lion King, it had Toy Story 4, it had Aladdin. And then when you start looking more deeply over the summer, there's not a lot of studios that really had a lot of success. And overall, the summer receipts were off about 3% from a year ago. And year to date, the box office is down almost 7%. So we have Disney kind of leading the charge. But then we have a lot of movies that didn't really connect. I'm thinking of Godzilla, King of the Monsters, Men in Black International. There was a Fox X-Men movie called Dark Phoenix. So you had some big hits at Disney and a lot of bombs wherever else you looked.
And on the issue of those Disney films like Aladdin and The Lion King and Toy Story 4, are they going after younger kids or families with that? Or do they want people like me who saw the ones when we were kids when they came out in the first place?
Well, I'll speak for Toy Story 4 because I took my wife and my two kids, and I have an older teen and a younger teen, and I would say all four of us enjoyed that movie in different ways. We all liked it. We all got different jokes differently, but that is a classic movie for Disney in that it can appeal to young and old, male and female, all at the same time. I mean, any movie that is looking for a lot of success at the box office is considered a four-quadrant movie, and that means it plays male, female, young, and old. Not every movie does that. There are some hits like John Wick, Chapter 3, which did really well, and that plays mostly to a kind of younger male audience. But yeah, a movie that succeeds on that kind of level, like Lion King or Toy Story 4, it's getting a little bit of everybody.
Okay, and let's talk about the one film that made more than $100 million at the box office this summer that had an original script. That would be Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It stars Leonardo DiCaprio as Rick, who's a TV actor whose career is going downhill, and then Brad Pitt as Cliff, Rick's stand-in and stuntman. Here's a scene where Rick is trying to persuade a director, played by Kurt Russell, to hire Cliff.
Hey, you could do anything you want to him. Throw him off a building, right? Light him on fire. Hit him with a Lincoln, right? Get creative. Do whatever you want. He's just happy for the opportunity.
Rick?
Yeah.
I don't dig him. And I don't dig the vibe he brings on a set.
John Horn, why do you think this was the one film with an original script that broke through?
Well, I guess you could say there are a lot of brands in Hollywood. And if you look at the highest grossing films over the summer, you also have movies like Secret Life of Pets 2, another Fast and Furious movie. And I think Quentin Tarantino is a brand. I mean, I think people really respect him as a filmmaker. He doesn't make a lot of movies that often. This had a lot of big names in it, Brad Pitt, Leonardo DiCaprio. And maybe audiences were hungry for something that wasn't a sequel, a prequel, a knockoff, a remake. And as you said, it's the only film that came out in the summer that was in the top 10 that was not one of those things. So I guess it both proves and dispels the point that everything is all about franchises, and Quentin Tarantino might be that rare franchise unto himself.
Mm-hmm. One film that reviewers loved was Booksmart, which is a comedy that stars Caitlin Dever and Beanie Feldstein as two overachieving high school students who decide to break out and have fun on the night before graduation. Here's a scene from that.
Let's go to Nick's party.
Are you kidding? No, no way.
Maybe we only have one night left to have studied and partied in high school. Otherwise, we're just going to be the girls that missed out. We haven't done anything. We haven't broken any rules.
Okay. We've broken a lot of rules. One, we have fake IDs.
Fake college IDs so we can get into their 24-hour library.
Why do you think that this film did not do well?
I think this is the real other story of the summer. There were so many movies, and I'm thinking of Booksmart. I'm also thinking of a really good horror movie called Midsommar that seemed to have a lot going for them. Really good reviews. They were an alternative to all of the reboots and sequels, and yet they didn't connect with audiences. And I think a couple things are happening. I think one is the clout of the big movies like Lion King and Toy Story 4 is so big it casts a shadow over the rest of the releases. And I think the other thing, quite honestly, is Netflix and Hulu and all these streaming services that people say to themselves, I could watch that or something like it at home. Do I want to spend the money to go out to a theater and see it? Is it any different in a big theater? Because big movies are. I mean, if you go see an Avengers movie with a crowd, it's a different experience than you can see it at home. And I think that's really unfortunate that those are the kinds of movies that are hard enough to get made right now. And if you look at the results, the next Booksmart, the next Midsommar, maybe doesn't get a theatrical release at all. Maybe it ends up on Netflix, or maybe it doesn't get made by anyone.
See, I have to say that I fall into that category in the last few months, which is that I've been watching Chernobyl and Escape at Dannemora and other shows that are fantastic on good old-fashioned TV, on HBO, on Netflix, on Showtime, etc. The Loudest Voice about Fox News has been interesting as well. There's so much good TV right now. It's hard to say, okay, I want to, you know, deal with somebody else's schedule where they say the movie's going to start at this time and I've got to go buy tickets and everything else.
Yeah, and I think Escape at Dannemora is a great example because it's directed by Ben Stiller. And you would always say Ben Stiller is a movie guy. He's a movie actor. He's a movie director with his Zoolander films. That's a classic example of a really good story. And it is where the talent is going. And there are other movies, like Netflix had a big hit with a movie called The Highwayman that you would imagine a couple years ago would have been released theatrically. This is about the guys who found Bonnie and Clyde. So I think that is part of the real shift, that it's not just that the audience is going to streaming services, it's that filmmakers and actors are going that way. And who knows how that's going to get reversed, but definitely I think that's what happened this summer. And I don't blame you. Listen, those things were better than most of the movies that I had to suffer through. You had a choice. I didn't.
Well, and in fairness to the big screen, I do always like to go and see all the movies that are nominated for Best Picture every year in some way. Some of them are on an airplane because they usually it's easier to do it that way, frankly. But what are you looking forward to in terms of what's going to be in the Oscar buzz category? We've got all these film festivals getting started. Telluride in Colorado this weekend, Venice Film Festival in Italy. Next weekend's Toronto. What do you got your eye on?
Well, the movies that I am most excited about that are going to be playing at some of those festivals, there's a movie by Noah Baumbach called Marriage Story about a couple played by Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson who are going through a divorce. There's a movie called Ford versus Ferrari, which is about Henry Ford II racing Enzo Ferrari in a battle at Le Mans in the 1960s. And then further down the line, we have Little Women, which is Greta Gerwig's film. She did Lady Bird a couple of years ago. Sam Mendes, who's the director behind American Beauty, has made a film about World War I called 1917. There's a movie about Fred Rogers starring Tom Hanks called Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. And then I think the biggest wild card in the fall is Martin Scorsese's film, The Irishman. No national chain is going to play that movie because it's going to be on Netflix. It's a 3.5-hour gangster movie from Martin Scorsese with a big name cast. That, I suspect, is going to be in big Oscar contender, but we'll have to find out because it is not going to be playing the festivals right now. It'll be at some festivals later in the fall, but it will probably be only in a select number of theaters once it gets released.
Do you think that there's any chance that Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood with Tom Hanks is going to be as good as Won't You Be My Neighbor, which was the documentary about Mr. Rogers?
I don't know. Morgan Neville directed that documentary. It was a really good film. The feature is directed by Mariel Heller, who did a really good movie that not a lot of people saw called Can You Ever Forgive Me, about a literary forger. It feels like a really good idea, but you're right. How does it compare to the documentary that felt so good? But, you know, the documentary is an interesting story. A lot of people thought that was the documentary of the year.
It didn't even get nominated
for documentary feature. So who knows? It's a year of a lot of unexpected things. And there might be a movie that we haven't talked about that could emerge as a wild card in the Academy Award race, kind of like Green Book was a year ago.
Right, Green Book. And by the way, before we get to the Academy Awards, there's the holiday season. There's the new Star Wars movie coming out, Rise of Skywalker. Anything else you're keeping an eye out for this holiday season?
Well, I think we've talked a lot about how the box office has struggled this year. Not only is there another Star Wars movie, there's another Jumanji movie, there's a sequel to It. So there are a lot of big audience movies that will come out, not necessarily contenders for the Academy Awards. So if you felt like the summer didn't really give you what you wanted, there is still hope because there are going to be a lot of quality movies that are coming out over the next couple of months. And there's still going to be a lot of big would-be blockbusters. And if you're desperate, as maybe a handful of people are, for another Terminator movie, there's also another Terminator movie.
That is John Horn, who hosts The Frame at KPCC in Pasadena, California. John, thanks as always.
My pleasure. I'd love to say I'll see you at the theater, but I suspect I'll see you in your living room watching Netflix.
No, I will go to the theater, but it's going to have to be really good.
Okay.
Thanks, John.
And John mentioned that Terminator movie. Well, Terminator Dark Fate opens on November 1st.